Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Joining us now, the head of community ed at Minnetonka, Tim Litvin, just does a fabulous job out there of staying creative and ahead of the curve in opinion. And he's been tested all of the above in the last year, and he joins us now. Tim, you and I started this journey together. In fact, we were up in St. Cloud at the convention for community ed folks, and that was right before COVID hit. And then, obviously, we saw everything in between, and you had to get creative and come up with virtual ideas and all those things. I know that's really, you know, to stretch yourself and leave your comfort zone are always good learning experiences. It's also hard to not have interaction with people the way that you're used to. How difficult has the last year been for you from where you sit?
Hey, Mike, good evening, and thanks for having me on.
You bet.
I think it's been difficult for everybody, so we're not alone in that. What we try to do is we try to, you know, meet community needs and meet parents and family needs and hit them where they're at with good things to do and to learn and enrich their lives with and to recreate their lives with. And so when you're forced with the fact that, okay, well, the schools are rolled up and shut down, and your programs are rolled up and shut down for the most part, okay, right away, virtual is a word that we couldn't even spell in February a year ago. And so quickly we had to figure out where that is located in the dictionary. Oh, yeah, it's here under V.
Yeah, is that an O or two O's or a U? What is that? Yeah.
So now let's work with it. And I'll tell you what was really cool, and you've heard me say this before, but last March 15th, when the governor shut the schools down, within 4 days, we had programs up and running for families virtually. We had a family challenge going on. And in fact, the very next day, we had daycare up and running to meet the governor's wish for the first responder healthcare families, and that was all great and good. But virtual is where we had to live. And now we've learned how to do that plus in person to an extent, but not to the extent we would like, of course, because of all the limitations that are in place. But certainly not a great time to be a governor or an assistant governor or any of those positions, because they didn't go to work for all this when they were elected. They certainly didn't think this would happen. So everybody's been challenged, not just us, Mike. You got creative right away. You're all over the place doing good things. So hats off to you as well, sir.
Now you did get, you know, the interaction piece of it. You at least got some of that because you are a longtime football referee and basketball referee. Did that help make up for it a little bit, just that you could be out and about and have been able to be out and about doing what you love?
It did, because we're social creatures.
Yeah.
And when the State High School League, worked out the agreement with MDH and also the governor's office that football could be held last fall, we were just happier than heck as officials. Not necessarily just for ourselves, but for these kids, these high school kids that now get a chance to do what they want to do and they've trained themselves to do and they've looked forward to do. So, yeah, it was awesome for football. And then basketball was delayed, and that's fine as well. But, again, these kids got to play. And it's not about us as officials. It's about getting these kids out there to do what they want to do and have fun on the court.
Now,
have
you had a lot of games canceled in basketball lately, or how's that gone?
Yeah, this week, really across the whole state, it's been, I don't know what the percentage of games would be that would be played this week, but I'll bet it's 50% of what was scheduled. I lost two just because of COVID, and that's, you know, commonplace. I know a lot of referees have had that happen, and it's just what it is. Some shut down maybe because they wanted to reach the playoffs, and many shut down because they had to. And so we'll see what happens next week in sections, but there could be some section champions coming out of a section with three teams instead of eight.
Yeah, you know, we just had Ken Novak on, and they got shut down, and it was because a St. Louis Park player tested positive in the Wednesday night game, and they're done for the season as of now. And he said that what he was learning as he go along, and I guess I am too, is there are a lot of teams that have said, hey, we've come too far now. Let's cancel the rest of the games and let's just play make sure we can play in the tournament. So I think that's probably what you're seeing a lot of, right?
I think so, Mike. Yeah. And, you know, that's fine. You know, let them get to the tournament and then at least it's one and done or one and go on, and good for them to get that far. But you don't want to take a kid away from that experience. I feel bad for all those kids that have lost games. But, you know, we knew going in it would not finish 100% of a season. Football didn't work that way, and basketball certainly is working in the same regard. So we'll keep it moving the best we can.
But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, I hope every kid gets to play in the section tournament and has a chance to play in state. But, man, if you could get 15 games in or so, at least you feel like there's some validation there, like you had an actual season.
Yeah, I've been looking at some teams' records, and you're seeing 13-4, you know, 12-4, 9-3, you know, so it's all over the map depending on what they were allowed to get in as compared to past years when they would be playing, you know, 24, 26 regular season games. But at least to them, they're playing, and that's all that matters. So
did
I'm happy.
Did you find the cooperation
you
with coaches to be greater?
You see smiles on these kids' faces when you're roughing. They got a mask on, but you know they're happier next.
I was going to say that, but do you find the coaches are more affable this year just because everybody's thankful and they appreciate referees more than ever because they appreciate the guys will do it?
I'd say that's about a 50-50 proposition, Mr. Mack.
School by school, right?
They want to win. It's no different to them than it was 5 years ago. They're out there to win. And so, you know, we smile and we're doing the best we can, but if we see it one way and they see it the other way, it's like a tip of the hat and thank you, and maybe you'll get the call the next time.
Maybe you get the call the next time. And you know, you've worked the state tournaments and everything else, and it is more than a tournament. It is where you come together and see other people of like minds and people that you enjoy being around. And I guess I never really thought of it that way until, and maybe that's a good thing until this year, but you don't go to the tournaments just to referee a game or to report on a game or to coach a game even. That's a part of it. But you also go just to be amongst them. And boy, is there value in that.
It's a melting pot of like-minded people that go there and they just have this calling to be together. Mm-hmm. And, oh, yeah, there's a game going on, too. It's one of those. It's just fun to hang out and be with people that enjoy, you know, events, because that's an event, and it's a happening. And it's no different than some of the events that I put together in Community Ed as well as other event organizers do. People are social creatures. They want to go to events. And, you know, we got to... The wheels were loosened a little bit today, but there's still a long way to go. And, you know, we're holding back a lot of good hopes and dreams yet.
You have the Tour de Tonka every year. Will that look similar this year? Or are we not far enough along to know what it can look like yet?
Well, I sent a letter to several legislators trying to get them, and as well as the governor's office and MDH, expressing, you know, my interest from an event organizer's perspective and also from many across the state that are just like me. And we have to be able to look down the road, and so we're planning like crazy. But you don't know what you're planning for because current restrictions don't allow certain things. And so you can't get the word from St. Paul, you know, 2 weeks before your scheduled event, hey, go right ahead now, you're good to go. It doesn't work that way. Like any good thing, planning and execution and organization is number one. And so we're planning, but could the rug be pulled off from under us? It certainly could, but we're going. We just created a plan for our youth triathlon. That's in May. We're good to go with what we have to do, whether we have to space everybody out and go in waves and sessions and sections. We can do that. Do we want to do it? not necessarily, but we can do it because the kids want to have an event like that. And so we'll do the same thing with other events that we're looking at this summer. A big one that we program every year is the Firecracker 4th of July run in Excelsior with, you know, 2,500 runners and walkers. Well, that's going to be a little different animal for MDH, but could it happen? Perhaps. Grandma's Marathon right now has a great plan with the way they send runners out in waves,
starts,
very slow, methodical waves. And we can do that. You need geography to make that happen.
Yeah.
So that you can start them that way, get them on the route that way, finish them that way, and then move them right out of the facility, if you will, when they're done participating. So those are all things you can do, but it takes a lot of man hours, if you will, to execute that. But again, it can be done.
So what will be your
not ideal, but it can
be done.
If
we get back to normal, though, what will be the greatest value that you got out of COVID and what you learned over the last year? What is it you take with you from here on out that you wouldn't have had it not been for COVID?
I think there's many things we've learned. I think you learn to be more efficient, even though I think we were before. But because, you know, you don't have to run to certain places for meetings like we used to and gatherings at work. Now you're just Zooming everybody, and that makes you more efficient in your day. But it also makes you a little bit, and you see it with, you know, people on the roads, they're just a little bit more anxious. Where when you drive, somebody's always on your bumper. And I don't remember that way, you know, more than a year ago, where it was just constant speed, speed, speed. And I think that society has just pulled up a little bit tighter. And so we try to, you know, back it off a little bit and not be that way while we effectively plan. And that's tough because people want things yet, which is good. We just started our summer registration for enrichment programs earlier in the week. Off the charts with positive registrations. Families want our programs, which is awesome. So, you know, we're going to get it out there to them because they want it. And a lot of that is in person, and there's still some virtual, but most of this is in person.
But, you know, at least we're feeling like it might not happen next week, but we're heading in that direction. And, boy, does that make a difference when you see the proverbial light at the end of the tunnel, doesn't it? Because we now feel like it's a question of when, not if.
Yeah, just that shot in the arm.
Yeah, literally and figuratively.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, well said, Mike. Well said. I was smiling the entire week when I knew I could get one at a certain day in the week. And it just lifted my spirits, and I'm seeing that in a lot of other people now, too. That is heaven sent right there. That's gratitude for everybody that can have a shot. I'm happy for them.
And the people that you serve, what have you learned from them and their feedback and everything else?
I've learned that they're ready for us, and they've been waiting for us, and they're patient, and they still are there to participate along with us. So I've learned that they're there. You know, you think that they're going to go away because you haven't seen them for so long.
I know.
Programs, but that's not the case. They're there waiting and ready, and they're sampling what you put out there in the meantime, and they're ready to jump right in. And those are the calls and emails we get. When, tell us when, we'll be there for you. That's why we do the good work we do, because we're doing it for the community, the customers. It's not about us. It's about meeting those needs. And I feel good when we can do that.
What's it been like to manage people through all of this? Because they got their own families to worry about, their own health to worry about. What's that part of it been like?
For my staff, did you say?
For you to manage all those people, yeah.
Well, I think staff have been really good, but they're also wanting some security,
yep,
perhaps, in knowing that, you know, things are going to work out. We're going to have jobs. We're going to have programs for our community, because it's not been a good budget year this past 12 months for programs like mine. That is for sure. And so, you know, you do the best you can with everybody, but you at the end of the day, you got a bottom line. And so you got to make things work. And so staff are aware of that.
And they're anxious.
But they work hard. They're thankful. They're grateful. We have great staff at Minnetonka Community Ed. And I know all the community educators across the state would echo those same words.
Are the community ed directors in general just kind of tired right now, or how would you describe them? Or re-energized,
so.
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I've never been tired through any of this. you know, you just, you're a pit bull. You're in there working like crazy because
you got to like the fight once in a while, right?
Yeah, you know, it's like, go, we can do this. Oh, yeah, how about that, too? You bet. Let's do two of those. And let's organize this one. And so you just, you get into this great competitive conversation with staff. It's like, oh, yeah. And it just goes. It's great collaboration. And that's what's the fun about putting programs like that together on the backside is because, you know, you're a team. And then you, when you roll it out the door and people grab onto it, you feel like you've done them a favor, if you will, because they wanted it. And we want to deliver. We want to make people excited. And that's what we see in our events. We see people coming from all over for these events. And people need that. Again, the social creature inside of us wants these events because they're gatherings. And so we can gather. We might be a few feet further apart from each other, but we can still safely gather and hold so many of these things. I'm just passionate in wanting these things for our community. And so, you know, give us a little bit more freedom. Again, some came today. We need more. And, you know, there's just a lot that we can continue to do. And the meat and the potatoes of these, you know, all these guidelines that came out today is still coming out because we got the skeleton and now we're going to put bones on, or meat on the bones with what the requirements will be. We'll see that more tomorrow and perhaps Monday.
Last question.
That's a good thing.
Last question. Those that referee, you know, a lot of them got out of it this year. Some chose not to because COVID and other reasons. Give me your advocation for why it's important to make sure that guys that maybe took a year off and guys that have thought about getting into it, we always need good referees and good umpires. Give it a plug for why it's a great thing to consider when we come out of this thing.
Good question, Mike. Collegiality. Best friends will come out of this. That's what it's been for me throughout my lifetime of officiating, meeting great friends that I referee with, that I see as a coach, that I see as a scorekeeper, that I see as an athletic director or their assistant. Some of these same people in the same buildings, they're great people, and you gain these relationships. That's what we do. We gain relationships throughout our lives. And so that is a calling to officiate for anybody that's out there. You're going to gain friends. You're going to gain acquaintances. You're going to have your self-esteem lifted. Even if a coach is chewing your tail one night, you're still going to feel good about your avocation. And we need you. So if anybody's out there thinking that a whistle may or may not fit in your mouth, I can tell you it will and will help you along the way. So just sign up. Take a leap of faith. You can do it.
Tim, appreciate it very much. Keep up the great work and keep us posted.
Mike, you're a great guy for everyone, and I certainly love CCO having you on every night. They know how to hit a home run with you, sir. So well done.
I appreciate it, sir. Thank you so much. Tim Litt.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.